same. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers. The creaking. Manufacturers of State Express 3-5 Silver King cigarettes take pleasure in presenting The Creaking Door. Good evening, friends of The Creaking Door. The creaking door is open. They'll do, Gully. Look at that character over there. He hit his girlfriend over the head with a chopper. Put her in his wardrobe. It wasn't long before he had a skeleton in his cupboard.
Get the taste. 3-5 by State Express. Get the taste of international success. The taste that's uniquely 3-5. Only when no expense is spared in its making can a cigarette taste so light, so smooth, so satisfying. 3-5. Get the taste. The taste that State Express created for you. The taste that has made 3-5 the king-size cigarette of international success. Get 3-5. Get the taste.
Remind you who died yesterday. Provoking. A corpse matching wits with the public hangman. But let the architect of the nightmare, Steve Barrett, speak for himself.
My number's been up before. I'm still standing. I take a lot of killing. That other time I was ready to go, a pair of murderers got their wires crossed. I was in the Black Arrow Cafe, working up the courage to telephone. My wife. I never knew a word to mean less. An engaged signal. Nothing new. I always got a busy signal when I looked for a little cheer from Stella. It was then a pair of murderers got their wires crossed. Death. Oh, was it my wife? another, Stella.
My stomach knew the answer. A ton of live coals blowing heat to my brain.
Barman, give me the same. Double.
Later, at home, I waited for Stella. She came at midnight. I could hear the key in the cell door. An executioner in an evening gown, a symphony in black, ran to her soul. I'm first one home. This time.
I waited to give you supper. You didn't come.
I was delayed somewhere, talking to myself.
The evening dragged, though. I went to visit a friend.
Good. You've got a friend.
Mary Forbes. Please, I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
My sick mind. The pot calling the kettle black. I watched her sleep that night. Carelessly in her stocking box. My insurance premium paid in full and duly receipted. 40,000 pounds. New York, Paris, but clothes to wear. Wasn't just dreamy talk for Stella. It just needed my corpse to say yes.
More coffee?
Stella?
Yes?
How are the finances?
They're existing.
Who's the good fairy?
Say what you want to say, Steve.
The last job I left was 3 months ago.
Four.
But we're eating. The landlord's not threatening. And you wore a new dress last night. I'll have that coffee now. Thanks. Oh, and my insurance is all paid up. Surprise. No arrears. Coffee's ice cold. Well,
I've borrowed.
From whom?
Carl Stanley.
Why does Carl care?
He's your friend.
Making secret loans of money to my wife?
I wanted the loans. Secret.
Why?
To save your pride. You resent people you're obligated to. Even friends.
Now try again, Stella. Why was it secret?
To avoid this inquisition. Your brooding mistrust of a simple act of kindness. The search for hidden murders where there aren't any. To avoid this insulting third degree.
My friend Carl. And Stella's lover. I knew the other man now. I went to thank Carl for favors received. Dr. Carl. Little dwarf with greedy eyes and a cat.
Nice surprise to you. You dropping in like this.
I had a dream about you.
A dream?
That you were a cat and that you'd swallowed me.
You're not laughing.
No. I never laugh at symptoms.
Oh, but you are laughing behind that cat smile. There's a laugh going.
Steve, you're in a bad way.
I didn't come here for a consultation, Doctor.
You came to attack me? Why?
Being careless about money.
So you know about the loans?
I found out about them. You've been keeping me alive for months.
You're my friend.
So, you own me and Stella. We're in pawn to you.
You've always put things badly, Steve.
And what's the analysis for that?
Since you ask, insecurity. You can't accept kindnesses for what they are. Your anxieties interfere.
Now, I also owe you a fee.
I'm not your physician, Steve. Nor could I be. I'm your friend.
My wife's friend.
Your friend. We were together once and it was good. Steve, let's go back to those days.
Where were we before, Carl?
Mountain climbing. A log fire and a pipe full of talk before we turned in.
Remember Devil's Peak.
Oh, what a climb. Let's go back to it, Steve.
You still own that mountain cabin?
Just as we left it. And the season is officially open. Let's go back to it, Steve.
All right. Let's go back to it, Carl. We went back to it. It was open season, officially, for hunting deer, and unofficially, for murder. An accidental fall with a push from behind to help, then 4,000 feet to smash against the boulder. Or an accidental rifle bullet intended for a deer.
Hello, Steve! Hello! Steve! Where are you? Over here!
Steve, did I shoot anything?
My hat.
Your hat? But
I'm bareheaded. I didn't wear my hat. I hung it up over there on the branch of that tree, a bullseye, Carl. It would have torn my head off.
How did you come to hang your hat on the branch?
How did you come to shoot?
There was a movement in the bush, and then a shadow crossing his spine. A deer, I thought. Steve, what is this? Come out in the open.
If I had, I'd be dead.
Steve, you...
Murder me and palm it off as an accident at 500 yards in the bush. It could be a tragic mistake. The coroner wouldn't even look at you cross-eyed.
I hung
my hat on that branch to bait you, to catch you red-handed and as naked as sin.
You actually believe I coaxed you up here to murder you?
I know it.
If you thought that, why did you come?
To watch my murder, to enjoy it. To see you make the kill and lose it. To see that cat smile freeze on your mouth the way it's freezing now.
Steve, you're mad.
Goodbye, Carl. Let's try it again some other time. Some other time, Carl. The next try was mine. Two deaths, Stella and Carl. And a perfect alibi for the engineer. A perfect alibi so that I would live and tend their graves.
Get 3 fives. Get the taste. By State Express. Get the taste of international success. The taste that's uniquely 3-5. Only when no expense is spared in its making can a cigarette taste so light, so smooth, so satisfying. 3-5. Get the taste. The taste that State Express created for you. The taste that has made 3-5. The king-size cigarette of international success. Get 3-5. Get the taste.
think a pair of crossed wires could produce such a double cross. Foolish, Steve, to think that there is such a thing as a perfect alibi. He's so intent on telephoning.
Hello, United Airlines. I want to reserve a flight ticket to Glasgow. Tonight's plane. It's got to be 7 tonight. I've got urgent business. Good. Steve Barrett, 27 Sand Street, Kensington. Flight 11. Thank you. Wait a minute. How long to Glasgow? The plane lands at 10 p.m. Good. Thanks again. Number two was an airport ticket office. Another airport, a competing airline, the Bristow Airline. But I wasn't Steve Barrett at this airport ticket office. A prop moustache, face puffed out with wads of cotton stuck between my gums and cheeks, wax pencil lines to age the face and change it. Old amateur theatrical paying off. Yes, sir?
A ticket for Glasgow, please, for the 8 p.m. flight tonight.
When will it be? Yes,
there's
a seat available. Flight
17.
Your name is
there. Sam Talbot. I live at Guildford in Surrey. What time do we land?
The plane lands at 11 p.m. on ship.
Stop number three was the Black Arrow Cafe to talk a man into hiring out for a job.
All right. I'll do it. Now give me that scheme again.
You'll get on a United Airlines plane for Glasgow tonight, prompt at 7. You're me, Steve Barrett. On the plane, you mind your own business, attract no more attention than necessary. Go to sleep with a newspaper on your face.
What do I do?
On landing at 10 p.m., you telephone this telegram to my wife.
Stella, just arrived, Glasgow, concerning newspaper job.
Yes, and so on and so on. Phone it in promptly, as close to 10 p.m. as you can.
And then?
Lose yourself, take a train somewhere.
And then?
What?
When you've murdered your wife and you're in the clear with a perfect alibi, what's my cut of the insurance? Oh, quit rolling your eyes, Governor. Your scheme isn't hard to work out, Jenna.
I'd forgotten that Terra 2 was in trouble.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you forgot.
I'd forgotten that Terra 2.
It wasn't really you in a day.
You know your instructions.
Oh, yeah, I know something else, too.
Something else?
This perfect murder's been a long time etching with you. That's why you made inquiries about me.
Well, of course.
You've been weeks trying to find a spit bloke like me. All right, Governor. I'm your boy now. But you're my boy, too. So long, Governor. I'll be reading about you in the newspapers.
Had the perfect murder for Stella's insurance been a long time hatching with me? Had McCabe, a perfect stranger, reached deeper into my mind than I dared? And but Stella and Carl had crossed wires only 1 week ago. My motive to kill, my reason for revenge, was only 1 week old. I was in Carl's apartment at 6 p.m. sharp, waiting for him. We shared rooms once before my marriage to Stella. I knew Carl had it home at 6 to shave before dinner out and his evening consultation. You'll notice that I'm not using a rifle.
You're here to murder me?
No, I'm going to murder Stella. Through you.
Steve, get hold of yourself.
No consultation, Doctor. I owe you too much already. Do just as I say.
As you say, Steve.
These trinkets. A
lipstick, initial cigarette case, lace handkerchief, mementos left by Stella in her rendezvous here with you. Scatter them about the room, Carl. Oh, one in a dressing table drawer. One carelessly here, one there.
Steve, you're mistaken. Believe me.
Scatter them, Carl. Good. Now there on the table. Ah, the pencil and paper. Your personal stationery. Now write as I dictate and write in a scrawl, Carl. No penmanship. Ready now?
Ready.
Stella Barrett shot me. We quarreled. I wanted to end our affair. That's all, Carl. Drop your pencil. Stella shot you and left. But you weren't dead, or not at once. A breath of life was left, just enough to name your murderer.
Steve, I swear it. There was nothing between your wife and me. Only concern for you.
Concern enough to plot to murder me?
Steve, it's only in your mind. Some morbid idea that...
But I overheard.
You overheard?
Your telephone talk with Stella a week ago. You got your wires crossed, Carl. I was on that line calling home. I dialed home and heard myself sentenced to death.
Steve, there never was such a telephone call.
The night you met Stella at the Café Creole. You've forgotten, Carl.
I've never been in a Café Creole, not once in my life. It's just something you've invented. You just plucked it out of the ether.
It won't work, Carl. You can't mix me up.
Steve. Listen to reason. Try.
I'm trying to hang on to what I know. It's a minute after six, Carl. I'm here murdering you, but at the moment I'm in a plane 10,000 feet in the air flying to Glasgow. That's what I know. All I want to know. You'll have Stella all to yourself when she's hanged for your murder.
No, Steve, no more. No more.
Carl's arm against the floor where he'd fallen to break his wristwatch, fixed the time of his death at 6:02. I was on a plane to Glasgow as alias Sam Talbot of Guildford, Surrey, at 8 p.m. sharp. Sam Talbot was a man with a moustache and a pudgy face, no resemblance to me. My crime had the finesse that makes murder an art, and bungling. Two deaths, Carl and Stella, and a perfect alibi for the engineer. A perfect alibi so that I could live. A night's sleep with my name on a Glasgow hotel register, then a routine application for the newspaper job to cover my trip, and I was back in London late afternoon the next day. The city was full of the sensational arrest of Stella Barrett. Stella was caught in the toils, murder and the supreme penalty. Her death was only a question of time now, only time. Later, I saw Stella, by permission of the authorities. We sat in a stone room. This time it was different. I was her executioner now. But her eyes on me were eyes of pity.
You've been clever, Steve. They'll convict me and put me to death, I know. But I don't care. I want it to be like that.
You want it to be like that, you say?
I'll die and be dead to pain. But you'll live and live to pain. I wouldn't have it any other way.
You're getting what you deserve to get.
You must think that because you're insane, Steve.
Huh?
I never realized how insane.
I must think what I know to be so.
You know only what your insanity invents. I'm sorry for you.
Huh? You're sorry for me? You're sorry for me? With words, Stella was trying to unnerve me, steal my victory by making me suspect my own motives, suspect my sanity, as Carl had tried to do. But
act, and I wasn't fooled. Stella was an actress, the same actress she was when I married her.
The public prosecutor was the final ordeal. Another attempt to steal my victim.
Well, this perfect alibi, Barrett. You really think you're going to put it across?
I was in Glasgow when Carl Stanley was murdered. I cabled my wife.
Oh, we know all that. We also know that you murdered Carl Stanley in a scheme to implicate your wife.
I was in Glasgow. I left at 7 p.m. before the murder of Carl Stanley. I was 10,000 feet in the air when Carl Stanley was murdered. I arrived in Glasgow at 10 p.m. I immediately wired my wife.
A very good memory, Barrett, but it won't save you.
Do what you like to me. Question me. Use every trick you can, but my alibi stands. I was in Glasgow. I left at 7 p.m. before the murder of Carl Stanley. I was 10,000 feet in the air.
All right, all right. And supposing I was to tell you something even odder than that.
Tell me what?
You're right here now, reciting your perfect alibi. But you're not here. You're dead. You died yesterday.
I died yesterday? But...
Yesterday, 7 p.m. flight to Glasgow on United Airlines, flight 11, was never completed. The plane crashed.
Manufacturers of State Express 3-5 Filter King cigarettes invite you to listen next Saturday at 9 o'clock when they will again present